You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Now the largest new media platform on the web. And your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
I was waiting for the music.
Hello, everyone. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another after show for The Newsroom. We are in Season 2, Episode 3, Willie Pete. This was a pretty intense episode.
Very.
They seem to be getting more and more that way. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Kelly, and hanging out with me to my right.
Hi, guys. I'm Kristen, and across the table from me in purple.
I'm Kendra.
And sitting next to Kendra is John Comerford. I'm talking in the third person.
I know. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
He was talking in them. Anyway, go ahead.
So we're back to this Genoa story, Black Ops story that started out the season. And we get more details about it this time. And it's some pretty scary stuff and harsh accusations. And now it makes a little bit more sense as to why they're in so much trouble.
Yeah, because they screwed up.
It's just crazy the details that we get into on how they went from really thinking this was way, out of left field. There's no way they're going to report on this story to Maggie's brilliant idea of checking Twitter.
Yeah.
And just kind of timing it with the events of what they're accused of. And
how cool is Neil when they were figuring that? Oh, you just need to go. You had to use Topsy. You got here to narrow the time of the day, the longitude, latitude.
Neil's a little genius.
Yeah. Have you heard of that? I've never heard of Topsy.
No, I actually wrote that down. I'm like, I got to look this up.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to definitely look that up. So Jerry is gung-ho on this story. He really wants to get into it. And he tracks down this Eric Sweeney, who is this military, honorably discharged ex-military man that was part of this operation. Mm-hmm. And they go and meet with him, and Mackenzie goes with him. Mm-hmm. And just hearing him recant this story is pretty scary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recount intense. The story. It's
yeah.
Just because you'll get letters.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. Recount. Yes.
Not recant.
Yes.
He's not recanting yet.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. Recounting the story.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was fascinating because, he's a former Marine Special Ops, first of all, the fact that he would go on record. I mean, and it is patriotic. I mean, if it's sarin gas and in some respects, I know people are going to be on both sides of that argument, whether or not they think it's a good idea or a bad idea that someone's coming forward. But the way he was telling the story, I'm going, you can see how, my God, if that really happened, the soldiers wouldn't know. They'd only it's a need-to-know basis. They white phosphorus. No. Oh, actually, it's not white phosphorus. Right.
I mean, do you agree with Mackenzie that his story sounded rehearsed?
I didn't get that vibe.
I didn't either.
I didn't.
It's so hard to tell because there were so many details in there, but my stepdad is in the military, so mm-hmm. he'll sometimes ramble, and not ramble off, but he'll start
rattle off
a bunch of, M41s, 2, 4, 5, 6, and all this kind of stuff.
CR-530s.
I even asked them, they had to stop for a second. I'm like, hold on a minute, it's that with Sorkin dialogue, mm-hmm. and it was a lot to take in. I'm like, hold on, let me write all of this down, because there was a lot going on. I'm not sure, though, because it was only one person still. Mm-hmm. I could see where Mackenzie's a little apprehensive mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah, well, wouldn't you want to be just because it's
so big.
Yeah, and you've got to, obviously, they're going to do all their fact-checking and due diligence and everything like that. But what I thought was interesting, that question you just asked, when he was saying it, I didn't for a second think it was rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a veteran news person might have a different take because she's looking for different things. But it came across as genuine to me, but that, I think that was an interesting question.
I bet that actor
I want to know what she saw.
Though.
Well, and that's the thing. The soldier never was probably interviewed in that setting, so he probably rehearsed it in his head. Like, how am I going to tell her the story? So it's clear, so I don't give too much or too little.
And maybe apparently he hasn't told anybody else. So maybe,
but that was what I find strange, is that we're supposed to be, this date in the show is 2011, September 23rd. Mm-hmm. And when this attack happened was 2009. Mm-hmm. So between now and then, all of this had happened. Why all of a sudden now is he choosing to talk to this one person?
Well, I hope that's part of the questioning. Yeah. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Because, and you know, if what Jerry said was true, which is the first time he's been asked or that nobody else was interested, who knows if he hasn't tried to tell it before, but nobody else was interested.
Well, and technically, you're probably not supposed to tell anybody what was going on.
Right.
So why all of a sudden now is it different for him? Yeah, I'm assuming that would be classified information. There's a lot of stuff in the military that you could not talk to anybody about, even your spouse. Mm-hmm. But then for him so easily to give it away to Mackenzie, I would question that too.
But is it so easily? Because like you said, it's been 2 years. Maybe you've been struggling with it for 2 years and you finally decided, hey, you know, I can't live with this anymore because if I really think it was sarin gas and we as a country have decided, no, we're destroying all this chemical, we're not ever using them, then don't you have a duty to say something? And if you struggled with it for 2 years.
Yeah. And he's not in, you know, military anymore because he discharged.
But it's just, I mean, I definitely get how she could definitely question it over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, she gives him a pen and a paper he's starting to write down names. And it just seems a little too easy. Mm-hmm. And I've never been in a situation where I've been in like in a whistleblower situation. So I don't really know like how forthcoming people usually are, how quickly it all comes together. But it just seems like pretty fast.
Yeah.
So... And especially now that we know the outcome is that they were wrong or so, you know, we think at this point.
Just for argument's sake, I'm going to go on the other side of that. And I don't think it is too easy for this reason. If it happened 2 years ago and you really did, or if you've been struggling with it for 2 years, you finally had an opportunity to say something to somebody who may listen. Mm-hmm. I would say, here's what happened. And you better get the facts right.
But even when he was talking, though, he said it's been 2 years. He kind of made reference that he didn't really remember. And that's just where it started to make me question a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't really say those words, but he made one of the comments was, it's been 2 years, kind of let me think. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I remember. So it's, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to tell a story this big that's this important, you really should.
Wouldn't it sound more rehearsed?
Huh?
Wouldn't it sound more rehearsed if you did that?
I don't know. I guess. But it's a big deal. It's a scary story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's war crimes. You're accusing the Americans of war crimes. So wouldn't you really want to really remember what you saw?
Well, I think the bottom line was it was sarin gas and that, you know,
I think the only thing
that's something that
the only thing he didn't
up.
Remember as far as I can tell was the date.
Right.
He said it was around March 9th. I don't remember him questioning what other things he remembered.
I'll have to go back and rewatch that part, but it wasn't. Because we got like the date when Jerry was retelling it to Charlie, it was that he didn't remember about the date. But it was during his conversation with Mackenzie. She had asked him the specific question, and he like just said, "But I don't know. I mean, white phosphorus to sarin gas. I mean, that's crazy."
But Charlie even said if it was even just white phosphorus,
it's still chemical warfare.
Mm-hmm. And then I was curious as to Cyrus West is the one that told Jerry about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did he figure it out from Eric Sweeney? But that's backstory that we'll probably never get.
Yeah.
They don't care that much about it
because
it's about the story.
Exactly.
But I was just kind of curious how that was because nobody'd ever ask. But apparently, West and him knew each other and how that all fell through. That was just my background, kind of wanting to know how that worked.
Detective work?
My detective skills. Yeah. Look it up on Facebook.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry pulls this team together and they're trying to get second.
Corroboration.
Yes, to really
second source
move this story forward. And right when Mackenzie and Charlie are about to pull the plug, here comes the translation of these tweets. Perfect timing. And you see Willie Pete, and we find out what the Willie title Pete. Of this episode, what Willie Pete is.
I had no idea. I, you know, of course, I didn't know the title of the show, so we didn't have time to look it up. Did you know what you did?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
I
said,
never heard the reference.
It's a slang dated from when they used it in Vietnam.
Well, there you go.
And,
so it can burn. It WP. Can cause burn and yeah. Mm-hmm. A blanket of smoke. So they were mm-hmm. thinking okay. that's what it was used for.
Mm. Crazy.
Isn't social media and technology great?
Thank you.
But could you imagine being on Twitter and in your Twitter feed, like seeing these types of mm-hmm. tweets like mm-hmm. show up, people burning helicopters, you know, Willie Pete everywhere. That's horrific.
It's also a very weird thing to be tweeting while it's happening. Right. It's like, what do you do? Oh, no, wait, just a second. Let me get, hold on. I'm just, okay, there you go. Now I can help you.
Although we are in a world where I feel like a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. You notice there's so many videos that's of true. Bad things happening, and you're like, wait a minute. They're sitting there filming this, you know,
meeting
going on. Nothing's going on. Yeah. You can catch that. And, you know, people just do social media that way. Half the time I feel like, oh, something good happened to me. I got to put it on Twitter. Or I
was Twitter that popular
hashtag
in 2009?
I think that's right when it started.
Right? I'm trying to think back.
I defer to you ladies.
I want to say no.
I think it was kind of in the more beginning mm-hmm. stages.
Yeah, like early.
So it just seems interesting that it would be a kind of a play-by-play on Twitter at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just seems so much more. Well,
and maybe the reason it didn't pick up any steam was because it was earlier on in mm-hmm. it. And who knows how many followers
right.
that
right.
Hamney 8 has.
Hamney 8, yeah, absolutely.
He may not have that many followers, so he's tweeting about white smoke and people are just like, oh, whatever.
Uh-huh. Well, now it looks like they're going to run with this story. The tweets have aligned with Eric Sweeney's story, so mm-hmm. now they're going to get more into it. And
although, are they going to consider that corroboration?
I hope not, but I think it's going to give them more time.
Obviously, they're not going to pull the plug.
Yeah,
so
give them more time to do a little bit more research.
Well, they talked a little bit of it in the previews mm-hmm. where if they, you know, how can you find somebody necessarily on Twitter as mm-hmm. well? Because there's a lot of people that just do fake accounts.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't have a, you know.
They're going to use Neil. Report. Neil will find him, no problem.
He's going to get. Maggie's going to find him on Foursquare.
Instead of Topsy, he'll Tipsy, Foursquare, there you go. Done.
Is there an IP for tweets?
Like, well, I'm sure you can probably pull up somebody's IP from anything that they post online, right?
I think so.
We need Neil in here to give us like the technical lowdown.
I'm sure they could find out a lot.
No, I think you can. Because if you're online, it's a different URL, I think, than if
it's just like sending an email. You can find it where an email is sent mm-hmm. and all of that with the IP address. So I'm sure there are ways. I'm sure the military has ways. Somebody has ways mm-hmm. to figure out where these things come
NSA.
From. Yeah, somebody, because we're, you know, big brother, right?
Yeah.
So they've got ways to figure
it
all out.
We'll just get somebody to hack somebody's Twitter account. I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yeah, totally.
They hacked Max's
phone. We can get Reese to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Get Reese to do it.
Well, who knows? Maybe Eric Sweeney hacked somebody's Twitter account.
Could have.
There, if you're talking hacking. Probably not, mm-hmm. but
allegedly.
It could have. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. It's just very interesting to watch this story unfold because it mm-hmm. is such a scary and insane story to really think that something like this could have.
And I also like the conversation it generates because just like us, we're going, okay, mm-hmm. was he too rehearsed? Was he not rehearsed enough?
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think they played it really nicely. And they just giving you just enough information to keep the story going because,
mm-hmm.
oh, shoot, I was just ready to pull the plug. Now we got to pursue it even farther. So you got to get deeper and deeper into it, which makes the more deeply you get into the story, the more corroboration you get, then you're going to see, of course they ran with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, why would they not?
Right, exactly.
So they that's what scoop. I can't wait to find out. Like, what else do they find to make them mm-hmm. go to that extreme to actually run with this story mm-hmm. that seemed so...
And is it going to end up being a hoax that somebody just did all this as a hoax? Because it turns out to be not true.
Yeah. Well, we know Reese doesn't like him. Are they planting things?
I mean, interesting. Look at that.
Could it be?
I don't think Reese thinks that far ahead.
I don't think Reese is bright enough to, but I think he's Machiavellian enough.
So. I think he has other people to kind of manipulate. I mean,
he has his own Neil in his office.
He probably does. He did say he doesn't like them or anything that they're doing.
True. And I really
it's a perfect way.
Wonder too, because we saw how much Charlie did not want to run this, and even though he was, you know, there at the mm-hmm. end there with the tweets. We don't see him being with Rebecca yet. Now, it's not to say that he won't be questioned by her at a later mm-hmm. date, but mm-hmm. was this something that he said, maybe don't run with it, Mac? And she's the one who did, because it does seem like mm-hmm. it falls on her and Will's shoulders.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
they may have done it without
see.
Passing it through Charlie.
Which I could see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can very easily see them.
Well, I mean, when they get passionate, as we've seen in the last season, when they get passionate about something, they just kind of go with it, and then
oops,
see what happens.
The bad thing is now they don't have that tape. So,
oh, I know, how horrible. What happened to the tape recorder?
Ah, it pissed me off.
I know, me too.
Did they never hit record? Is that what happened?
No, I think he recorded over it.
Yeah,
or something.
Did he?
I think that's what he was trying to suggest. It's like, why would you ever give Charlie something technical to deal with?
It's painful.
And right away, the first thing I would have done is make a copy of it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it to Neil. He knows technology.
They are so not.
I know.
You know, Scarface or any of those people.
No,
I would have still. I would have.
Maybe Fredo, if for all you Godfather fans out there.
I would have taken it out of the garbage and still tried to find.
Yeah. Again, you know, Neil probably would have been able to get it all.
Yeah. Get it? Yeah. It's crazy.
But you know, it wouldn't have mattered because Reese doesn't care.
No,
that's true.
So what good? Or he's pretending to. Who knows if he really does? I hate that Reese character.
His character is so great.
Just reach over and punch him. Just hit him square.
He's probably like the nicest guy, and he you know helps puppy dogs, and sick children.
Yeah. Well,
in real life.
Well, you know he's on the Mindy Kaling show, the Mindy Project.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's on a comedy show, and it's just really funny to see like both sides of him because you hate him so much on the newsroom, but he's so funny on the Mindy Project. He's so likable, but I like his character. I like that struggle between
them. Great.
It's such a great dynamic, I think.
Yeah. I still want to punch him.
You have to have a villain.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he, you know, you find out Sloane is not the leak, that he is actually the leak.
No, she was the leak, just not the one.
Yeah, not the right one.
Exactly.
But, yeah, she still couldn't keep her mouth shut.
That's right.
Poor Sloane. But I like how she was going to fess up. It took a minute, but she was going to stand up and she was going to take, you know, take the blame.
It was interesting because, you know, Will goes and decides to do the honest approach with Nina, and it worked, so to speak.
Sloane
does the same thing. You know, so there's this little thing about just, you know, honoring and owning up to what you did and stuff like that. And so I thought that little play there was interesting because one of them works well, one of them not too much. So
now I did like that, and we'll see if the story ends up coming out anyway because Reese said he was going to just leak it to someone else. He's really
will.
On. Yeah, I'm sure. Good. He just wants to make it such a horrible. Mm-hmm. He wants to do anything he can to be the villain in Newsnight's life.
Absolutely. Just torpedo whatever he can.
He's like, it reminds me of like a bratty little kid.
Yeah, he is. That's exactly. He's very petulant.
He's going to pound his fist and kick and scream until he gets what he wants. It's so terrible.
Well,
how can he be like the president of this major company acting like that?
Because mommy lets him.
I was going to say, because mommy's the boss.
That's right. Mommy only lets him deal with these low level things.
It's terrible.
But I don't know about you guys. I've dealt with many a guy like that.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Parents are running the show and he's just this little ounce of power. Wielding as much as he can.
Goes right to his head.
That's it. There we go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't believe her when she said she wasn't going to run it.
I didn't really believe her at first either. I thought she might have been tricking him.
Keeping it in her back pocket.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was just waiting for the other shoe to fall. Will, what are you doing? Wake up!
I know.
It was too easy.
Do you think she was just doing it because she wanted to get on his good side?
Well, she's always liked him. I could tell she's always liked him. And with her, from last season, the conversation that she had with Mackenzie on the street, where she wants to be an investigative reporter. She wants to be
no young girl grows up wanting to be
a gossip columnist. So she really wants to do hard-hitting news and real stories real in her mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that she respects Will, and she takes all his insults and she takes them with a grain of salt, but she still has a job to do.
Sure.
And I think she wants to prove to herself and to him that she could be a better person. And she has feelings for him, obviously. Mm. That's why she never told Mackenzie what the voicemail said. That's why she deleted it. And even again, when she gets asked point blank, what does it say? She lies.
Well, yeah, but obviously she lies. And I'm wondering, okay, there's part of her lying because of what's just occurred. So that's awkward. Just how do I say what was real? But also, if she was to be honest, that's also putting him, Will, in a situation that's awkward too, because she didn't, hey, do you mind if I tell Mackenzie or should I tell Mackenzie? Mm-hmm. She's giving him information that was private to him.
Well, she should have never had the information in the first place.
That's true.
Doesn't that privacy kind of go out the window?
But obviously he didn't tell her.
No.
So she'd be revealing something that he chose not to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So if she is honest, that screws Will in some degree, pardon the pun. But so anyway, I thought it was twofold. It was a great conflict for her. Do I be honest with, because I would, because I think that she respects Mac as much as she respects Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she, in some way, she wants to be Mackenzie. She wants to be that hard-hitting.
She does.
So that's probably why she slept with Will.
I think, exactly.
I think it's more like jealousy than it has to do with integrity, really. That's just kind of what I think.
But I thought the reason she didn't say it because now she has something that Mackenzie doesn't.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I don't disagree that that wasn't the big part of it. But I also felt like, well, I thought it was great that they added the other layer in, which
is
he just chose not to tell her. And here I am wanting this person to be my friend, wanting to be honest with her, but can't be because it's kind of not only for the obvious reason, but the other reason, too, I thought was just as interesting.
I don't think she'll ever have him the way that Mackenzie...
Well, no. Well, the greatest part of this whole thing is we finally got to hear... We finally got to know what the voicemail said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I was surprised it was so short, but it was cute and it was sweet.
Yeah.
And for him to
just
say...
Just like Will.
Only when he's high.
And then can you believe we got Obama?
Yes, exactly. Which was really funny. Because didn't he almost say that on air?
Yeah, he was rehearsing it. He was saying it to her while she was fixing his tie.
Yeah.
He couldn't get it. And he kept saying Obama instead of Osama.
Yeah.
How weird, though. Nina knows the whole thing, the message and everything, and still decides. I mean, she's...
Again, I think that's kind of slightly very twisted for her.
Yeah.
And then even for him.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to prove something by doing that. Maybe that he's over Mackenzie and, you know, and thinks Nina's attractive and all this kind of stuff. And maybe trying to get her on his side so that...
But he always thought Nina was attractive from New Year's Eve last year.
Exactly.
He'd always been attracted to her until he found out what she did and then tried to civilize her. But that was... I don't think he thinks about it that much. A little bit. But I think he just wants to move on. Because we also... The conversation that he has with Mackenzie when she's trying to get the voicemail out of him and she says, well, I think for a minute you thought you forgot that you were mad at me.
Right.
And then we get a little bit deeper into their tragedy where she was with Brian for 4 months
while they were together.
And all the emails she sent while they were together.
Yeah. So now it definitely makes more sense of why he is so... It's not really angry. He's just really devastated and heartbroken.
He is, exactly.
So why would he want to go back and...
Because he still loves her.
Yeah. No, but I mean, at this point in his right mind, I think that's why he's hiding the voicemail from her.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't want to get back into it, so he wants to move on with someone else, anyone else.
I think it was the wrong someone else.
Well, absolutely.
I think he's too hurt. But he would love to be with her, but he's too hurt. He's not really, he's not well. He doesn't have the stomach, the emotional ability to try to be in that position again where he might get
broken. So what happens when she finds out what it said?
That's going to be great.
Explosive.
Yeah. I know. That'll be a good thing. Because
if she finds out.
Yeah, when you lose trust in someone like that, how do you go back? How can you fix it?
Yeah.
No matter how many times they apologize.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of... interesting to see that trust play out also with them going on the news and telling this story to their whole audience and then having to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
How is the audience ever going to trust them again?
And I think that's one of the things, is it Charlie that used that line? That we lost the audience's trust or something like that. So there's that, all that trust is running throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of going all the way through. And it's the same with Maggie and Dawn.
Right.
With Maggie, you know, it's definitely going in all these different directions, which is a very...
Mm-hmm. And so the other themes that I like are the Don Quixote, the quixotic, always, you know, fighting windmills and all that other stuff. I love that, you know, the news itself, trying to make the news content driven rather than ratings driven. That's quixotic. that thing's going through there, too.
And we see that as, you know, we get into Jim's character and when he's out on the Romney bus trying to get them to answer real questions.
Yeah, actually have news on the news bus.
Yeah.
What a thought.
Yeah.
Radical.
Yeah. And they're not answers. It's just talking points.
Yeah.
And he has like some of the best quotes.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest thing because they're not answering questions. And I've been watching The West Wing a lot.
Yeah.
And it really reminds me of the campaign that they did on The West Wing is really trying to get real questions answered with these candidates and asking real questions. And it just shows that it's in politics, it's such a hard thing to do is to get somebody to give you a real answer.
It's only hard because the news is more interested in access than answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Jim. They all just said, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to be on your bus. You either ask us questions or we're not going to give you any coverage. They need the news for the coverage.
Yeah.
And if they just said, you know what? No, not until you answer questions.
With real answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And until they did that, say, okay, well, then there's a blackout on you. You get nothing and your opponents, your colleagues who are running against you for this are going to get more information. Whoever talks to us with real answers is going to get the coverage.
Mm-hmm. No, that's all they have to coverage,
do. Yeah. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that they were just too scared to stand up, aside from the three.
Because they're more interested in access.
Mm-hmm. At least they have turkey sandwiches.
File these stupid reports that mean nothing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, propaganda from whatever candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do our 10-second little blurb that means absolutely nothing.
Be comfortable on the bus.
Yeah.
And you want fries with that? I mean, that's what it is.
Well, even in the beginning of the episode, it gets into even the candidates. They don't want to answer questions. Why don't they really want to get into the harsh, you know, debates? And mm-hmm. when you have the gay soldier that asks the question and he gets booed by people in the audience and nobody stands up for him.
Mm-hmm.
There's these people that are running to be the leader of the of America are not standing up. And I mean, I don't know. How does that make you guys feel? Like, is that somebody you would want to vote for, question more, that just kind of sits back and stays quiet?
Yeah, well, I thought it was a great... For me, it was great because I want to say, whoa, that's one of our servicemen.
Right.
In uniform, fighting for your freedom and willing to put his life on the line. You shouldn't boo him.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what your feelings are about his sexuality. Yeah.
Are we
going
to go to every service person and say, okay, by the way, let's check off the litmus test. Do you meet these criteria? You know, what if one of them doesn't go to church? Mm-hmm. Are we going to feel, we're going to boo that person?
Yeah. He's actually overseas right now, videoing in, and you're booing him.
Exactly.
Like, it's
well, you sit in the comfort of a chair in
Orlando.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That just seems ridiculous. But we support our troops.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody supports
unless
them so
gay.
Much. But it's.
Or whatever.
It's sad to not, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to necessarily take a stand on the right each way, but just the humanity of it. Mm-hmm. Just, you don't do that to someone who's fighting for your freedom. Have some respect. Yeah, show some manners.
And it would have been amazing if any one of those people up there who were wanting to be the leader of the free world to be able to stand up there and say, hey, hold on a second. That's not what we do here.
Exactly.
That's not what we are as Americans. That would have been
a leader.
Yeah,
actually,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that we didn't see that.
And they would have had. Yeah. They would have. I think the country would have went, whoa, that is a leader.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you necessarily agreed with it specifically,
right.
You would have went, wow.
That takes guts. That's somebody that I want.
Absolutely. That would have been a leader.
Especially because you could have taken a stance and maybe not have said if you were for or against, you know, his homosexuality. But you could have just said, he's a troop. We stand by our troops.
Exactly.
Thank you for serving. And anybody who boos, you may have your reasons for that, but this is not the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't it? Jim said like if that. Someone had stood up, they would have won the election.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I think...
No, I agree too.
Yeah, I think I like that he's fighting for it and getting on everybody's nerves, and he's fighting to get those questions.
That's what they're supposed to. That's reporters.
He was hitting his head on the.
Yeah,
everybody else is being lulled into some tryptophan stupor with their turkey sandwiches. Let's just write what they tell us to.
Yeah, that was smart. Yeah,
it's probably a bunch of. Well, as they said earlier too, it's a bunch of newbies. It's probably It is really hard to get a job right now, especially if you're in entertainment or news. So they're probably sitting there going, I don't want to be the new PA that's going to be knocked off of the bus and then my $10 an hour is gone.
Right.
What little they have. And I think that's another reason why you probably don't see. I'm not saying it's right.
No, I know. But
As a broke PA myself, sometimes I can understand.
Yeah, you got to take what you can get, and you don't want, because it's a scary place, especially in that level of a job. They can just swap you out without thinking twice about it, and I think that plays a big role in that. But when he's talking to, I'm sorry, what's her name, Haley?
Yeah,
and she started her own website. She wanted to ask these questions.
Right.
And I like that he asked her, well, how's that going for you?
Exactly, yeah. As much as she was giving him.
Yeah.
And I agree that, maybe I'm not on the bus. It's not like they don't have a hell of a lot of control. But it just drives me crazy that the people who are in the newsrooms who are actually running that news division, why aren't they saying, screw it? Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't band together with the other news people. And just they don't need them. We don't need to be on that damn bus.
Ratings. People are fighting the competitors.
Absolutely.
But
wouldn't you get better ratings if you had them actually answering questions?
One would think. Well, I don't. One would think. We don't. I guess, we'll never know the interworkings.
Well, it was interesting that the passive tequila guy
yeah,
actually stood up and jumped off. Yeah.
18 miles from the next.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he scored the turkey sandwiches, thank God.
At least they'll be able to
eat. What, do you have nine in that package? That was great.
That was a big Ziploc bag.
That was amazing.
It'll be interesting to see where he came from, too. Like, what was his reason for getting off the bus? And I think there's going to be three of them in the car. I think we'll figure that out next week.
He's just really into gym, I think.
He might be.
Or he's trying to get with Allie.
Yeah.
But I liked, and I love Constance Zimmer in here. I mean, I like her in everything. She's always great.
And a friend of AfterBuzz, been on a couple times.
Exactly. And she is Dana. I watched her in Entourage as Dana Gordon, and I loved her character in there. And now she's in House of Cards as well. And she's always a no nonsense, don't mess with her kind of a chick.
On the other side of the mic, so to speak. She's on House of Cards. She plays a reporter.
Exactly. So it's got to be a fun dynamic for her to do that.
What was our favorite quote that he said that Jim said to her? Do you have someone inside you
operating the controls?
That was one of our two Sorkinisms that we enjoyed for the night.
Yeah. What was your favorite Sorkinism, John?
Mine was his comment about, snarkiness? Mm-hmm. Yeah, snark is the idiot's version of wit, and we're all being polluted by it.
And I agree with that.
Yeah, I thought this was very specific to – this is very Sorkin in this version, especially what Will was saying. Sorkin early on said he wanted more civility in the debate, and he wanted to raise that level of civility in this show, actually. And that's what one of the things he had hoped. And everything Will was saying about how we should be nicer, a little more polite to people, all that stuff was exactly what Sorkin had been saying before the show ever aired.
Yeah, I like where he says the bitchiness has to stop. We can be decent.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's amazing what would happen if people just stopped for a second and were just nice and polite. Ask somebody to stop doing something. Be honest. Mm-hmm. See what happens. And I like that they showed that with Will and Nina's interaction.
And it actually worked.
It did. I don't like that they ended up like sleeping together afterward. No, still.
But wasn't it great with the music and he had the giant playing What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love.
Are we sure that's what happened? Or was she like at the gym?
Why would she be taking a shower?
We're not positive. I think we can infer. Yeah, I think strongly infer.
He was completely dressed. He wasn't in pajamas.
No,
he
was kind of in a more casual outfit.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty
let's just say she was, she just came over to his house from the gym because, that's what she would normally do.
In her black.
You were so lovely to think so.
She was
in a black little camisole.
You don't think they?
She comes out in a little like 90s.
Yeah, a little black.
Maybe it was before that was going to happen. Maybe she felt from the office and had to shower.
I don't know. I mean,
first of all, if she was coming from the gym, there's always showers at the gym.
That's true.
Yeah, but would he really be like on the computer and studying and all? Like,
yeah.
Well, once he's done, he's done. he's waiting for her to get out of the shower.
She was in the shower.
That's what I mean.
Either that or he'd be taking a nap.
No, I think it was after. Well. She was in a shower.
Kendra, I like your innocence.
Why wasn't he in the shower with her then?
Well, maybe that's just not how he rolls.
Maybe. Exactly.
He's like, I'm done with this now.
I can't speak to his hygiene. I just can say that.
I'm just analyzing the scene.
Maybe he started, and, guys don't have to be in the shower as long as girls.
His hair is dry.
Awkward.
Did he have a shower cap?
All right. Well, let's ask everyone else. Do you think they slept together? Apparently, this is a hot topic at our panel right now. Please go to iTunes, rate and comment. Let us know what you think about this relationship. But we definitely love the interaction on iTunes and YouTube, you guys. We think it's great. We love to hear your theories, and I believe that you have some of the comments for now.
Yeah, I want to do some. So thanks, you guys. Yeah, for commenting because we didn't get anything the first week, and we love to hear from you guys. It's good to bounce off of everyone. We had two comments from iTunes, Forever in a Day, which was a thank you so much. Gave us 5 stars.
Nice.
That was fantastic.
Awesome.
We also had, I'm gonna mispronounce this wrong, probably Ken Dwad 1017. Thanks, Kendra. We'll try not to giggle as much.
I don't think we've been doing a job of that.
Nope.
And then YouTube, Reg Levacore. I'm sorry. And Mrs. Steinhauser. And I apologize. I was trying to answer Mrs. Steinhauser, and I got knocked down as spam because she was saying she was having trouble downloading, and I was trying to give her the iTunes website. Okay. Apparently, YouTube doesn't like that. I was trying to give her a link because they were saying, I'm assuming it's she, because it's Mrs. Trying to give her a link so that she could hear season 2. So I don't know if any of you other guys have been. Although if you're having trouble, you can't hear me right now. Although you can on YouTube, I guess. But if you're having any trouble as well, let us know.
It's sometimes it takes about a day to get it up on iTunes. So if you don't see it right away, just give it a second and check back. It should be there.
And we also had RJA688, who had so many great comments as well about that she loved Lisa's moment with Maggie, which we talked about last week, how great that was. And you guys, it was a great scene. You were here, but I'm assuming it was...
So yeah, I would love to know what everybody thinks, whether or not they slept together. I think it's a valid point. Kendra brings up a valid point because you know, who knows why she was over in the shower, but it doesn't really matter. But obviously, if they did, the repercussions are huge.
Right. And
it
business with
the
pleasure.
Rest of the season.
Well, and what do you think about her not telling Mackenzie about the voicemail? Yeah. Do you agree that it was just because she felt it wasn't her place to say, or is it more of she doesn't want to ruin her good thing with Will now?
With
her
Will.
Chances, yeah.
So and how do you, how does she, why does she even think there's a chance? I mean, she knows what he just said on that.
Well, if she really stuck to her guns like she tried to in the beginning, she wouldn't have been taking a shower at his place. So, you know.
And maybe they just wanted to have fun. So
maybe.
Okay.
No,
you know, they're adults.
No strings.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
Well,
it
doesn't work.
Uh-oh.
No, I saw movies about this with Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
Okay.
Doesn't work.
No, well, somebody always falls in love. It never works. Okay. Well, and Mackenzie, you can tell she's obviously still really hung up on this whole situation and still feels a lot of that guilt and is trying everything that she can. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like we talked about before, how do you really get past that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see just how – if anyone gets the trust back at all through any of these different storylines this season.
Well, you know, the thing is you can get past it. Many people have, but you have to both have to be willing. And right now, I don't think Will is.
Without throwing it back at you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the worst thing is when someone says they get past it in any wrong turn.
He decides
like,
to bludgeon you with it whenever he needs to.
It's interesting because, I mean, I think that's why she throws herself into her work. Because I think we've only seen her in the newsroom, in that coffee shop today, and then in her bedroom. So it's like that's all she does to avoid dealing with.
Well, that's what we've seen a few of these different characters do. Jim takes off to be on this Romney bus. Maggie's trying desperately to get to Africa to go and follow this story.
As far away from
everything as she possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm excited that we're going to get more into her story and what she's actually doing there in the next episode, what we saw from the preview. But she's really taking these pills. She started to hallucinate. That crazy.
After 10 minutes. Was it 10 minutes?
I just can't picture her as like a real investigative reporter right now.
You don't really want to give Maggie a reason to go off the handle. And just, you know, she's so pent up already that giving her an excuse and forget it.
One of the side effects were fear of the side effects.
paranoia decided something like
that. It's going to be really interesting to see kind of how she handles this whole situation. Yeah. I mean, obviously something crazy happens because we see her with this haircut and everything, you know, the first episode when the season started. But just how
she
gets from that
lice.
Point. She might, but why does she color it?
So she can see the lice as she takes them out.
Maybe that's her real color.
Could be. Maybe she's not a natural blonde.
Right.
We will find out.
Yes, we will.
I don't know.
I'm not going to find out. Maybe I'll leave that. Okay, moving on.
All right.
I knew where you were going at there.
Yeah. I know. Yes. And I'm bad.
Yeah.
So what else do we have?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Don, the Sloan.
Yeah.
That's where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So, that's a great Sorkin bit with a chair. I mean,
the chair with tires.
Yeah,
they call them tires, not wheels.
Yeah,
they look like little tires.
Because he gets better traction with those. They're mag wheels, man.
And I'm kind of mad at myself because I'm starting to like Don this season.
Well, they've
And I don't
him.
Like that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Well, they want you to be okay with he and Sloan getting together.
Yeah. Because everybody, we all like Sloan, I feel like.
Yeah,
even if she's not a favorite, I don't think it's anybody that you sat there like a Don or like, I'm forgetting his name, but the president of...
Reese.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like a Reese, where you dislike them so strongly. And Don, they've really
revamped
done a lot to him.
Yeah, a little bit. There.
You know, the only thing I really still don't like about his character is I feel like he's such he gets passionate, but in such a negative way. Like, he doesn't stop and listen. Mm-hmm. Like, with the last episode when it was the death penalty case, and he was, I definitely liked his passion. I liked that he really wanted to make a change and fight for this person. But the way that he goes about it is so aggressive, and he doesn't really listen or want to hear the other side. If he's not getting his way, he doesn't really want to hear it.
Right. Right.
And I hope to see that evolve a little bit more in his character.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You know, he's an aggressive news person. That's his Achilles heel. It's going to get him into trouble every time.
Yeah, but it's still...
It's like being, you know, worried about his audience. That's his Achilles heel.
Yeah, so. But I just feel like Don doesn't in such like... He's always fighting. Like, it's one thing to be aggressive and have a debate about something and really listen to the other person you're talking... He talks at people. He doesn't talk to people. And that's kind of one thing that bothers me a
little bit. Well, he doesn't seem to be talking as Sloan. This will be interesting.
No,
maybe this is the thing
different.
That's going to open that up for him.
He is a little bit different with her. And even when she walks into the newsroom or into the control room, when he's in there, he has like a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be a little bit more. We see
I
him
think
get
most
a little bit
men
jealous.
Would be like that if Olivia Munn walked into the
newsroom. She's so weirdly weird. She's socially crazy in a sense. I mean, the way she
is.
Yes,
I love that about her character.
No, I think it's great. I love it, but it's just it's great. It's this stilted exchange is never really.
It's very dry.
Yeah,
she's very dry.
Yeah.
I feel like, and this is going to sound weird, but I feel like her character could have been written as a guy, and it would have had that same charm to it as well. And it's interesting to take Olivia's point of view because I feel like they don't write women characters usually like that. Mm-hmm. They're really smart ones who are slightly socially awkward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
she's played a character similar to this before. Did you guys ever see the movie she did with Sarah Jessica Parker? I don't know how she does it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
She was a numbers person in that movie as well, and her character was very similar, very dry, socially awkward, not very friendly, didn't like hugging. And it was a very similar transition into Sloan. I feel like Sloan's a little bit more personable than the character
when she
was.
She threatens to take out your knuckles with a ball peen hammer.
I love that. Yeah, I love that about her. Don't drag her
in
like
a
child.
I think it's great. That's not very personable, but it's funny.
But I like how she goes to Don.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was interesting. Like, she could have gone to Mackenzie, but she goes to Don with this, I think I'm the leak situation and has a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And Don gets a little bit jealous because she was going to a wedding with some other guy.
Right.
And I like how it kind of plays out.
Don't you think that's why she went to Don? Not just because of that,
I was thinking that, too, because even last week, the reason she went with Maggie, or one of the reasons she went with Maggie is to make sure.
That's right. And remember that last season, she doesn't date because you haven't asked me out.
Mm-hmm.
You never asked me out.
So. How long do you think it's going to take before you finally ask her out? What do we think?
End of the season. Like,
you think?
Episode.
You think we'll get it?
I think it'll happen sooner than that. When Maggie's gone?
I think they'll play it out a little bit longer because they're not, it's not like a Will and Mackenzie where they're the top. You know, characters on the show.
Yeah, but I think that's why they'll do it. I'm going to go the other route because they won't get Will and Mac together because they're going to hold that out as long as they can. Mm-hmm. So they got to have some sort of thing going on. It's not going to be Jim and it's not going to be Maggie. So the only other romance we might have
is Jim and Hallie.
Yeah, we could have that.
But I think with Sloan and Don, it might happen in the next few episodes, but I don't think it'll go anywhere. I think it might just all be the tension, and then this isn't.
I don't know. I think they're a better fit for each other. I think that could be an interesting thing to see because I think she kind of makes him a little softer in her weird way. I don't know.
I don't know if she can take that though, like too much of the soft.
No, I think it's. I can think they'll butt heads too because I mean, let's face it, the way she took down Zane, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they'll go. You know, when they get at it, they'll go at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Like, she'll actually fight back. She'll definitely stand up for herself in a way Maggie never did.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's going to be more attractive.
He's not
going to
be able to run his number on her.
No.
No, don't think so.
No.
Let's place a bet.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. But I like their dynamic together. And it is interesting because I don't hate Don the way we did last season. Like, absolutely not. And
him falling off the chair was one of the funniest things of today's episode. Yeah.
And just that he was
and
low.
I wasn't. Yeah,
that reveal of him being so
yeah, that was good.
What? He was looking at him?
Yeah.
Like, this is normal.
Exactly.
Well, and I love the point that he made about her, that he said, if you just think she's going in there and everything that I say is what she's going to do, you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
And she even explained, he told me that I should listen to my EP, but I thought that was stupid.
Yeah. And I thought it was a great edit choice to go to her face when he said she's got 50 points IQ on both of those. And
yeah, I like that
the look
too.
That
the reaction.
Her reaction was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a nice editing choice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I feel like she's always trying to fight for that respect and that, and it was nice to for her to be able to get it and to hear it from, from both of these guys. Well, and have Zane not argue with that and just kind of take it. Yeah.
Has he been on before?
I think this is the first time we've seen him.
Yeah, I've heard his name.
I don't
name,
remember.
I think, but,
yeah. This is the first time I think we've seen him.
See.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Poor guy.
I just thought. Yeah. I mean, viewers might have been thinking the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was like, who's this person leading Sloan through
the
through the
first
newsroom?
Glance, I thought maybe, I don't know if it was the agent or something that she maybe was going to have a date
That's
with.
That's what I thought. I was like, what?
Just for a brief second, and all of a sudden when they got in there, I'm like, where are they going to dance? Yeah. This is strange. Then it all made sense.
Because I thought that too for a second, and maybe he was going to confront him about why do book agents cheat on their or beat their wives or something.
By the way, they do.
Do they?
Widely known.
Ask around.
I was like, wait, John. Perpetuating.
Yeah, of course.
John's been in this industry so long.
I know.
Naturally.
He knows so many stories. Mm-hmm.
I know. That's why I was like,
all right, so we know Maggie's going to Africa sometime soon. Jim has got to figure out how he's going to trail this Romney bus now that he got kicked off with his two reporter buddies. He's got to lead the charge and figure out a plan.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes.
This may be great, though, because now they're lone wolves. Screw it. We're not on the bus. We can ask whatever we want, whenever we want.
Exactly.
So this could be very interesting. It can really lob some grenades.
I want to see how aggressive Hallie will get now.
Yeah.
She's going to be forced to,
she wasn't going to say anything.
I was glad that she did.
She was going to sit down. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Just say it. Yeah, I'm glad she did. She was, I guess you guys talked about that. She was in Smash, right?
Her sister was, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll have to double check it, but I think it was her sister that was in Smash, her younger sister. But we'll have to check.
Because Meryl Streep has several. They all look very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say they look similar.
All right, is there anything else you guys want to chime in on these stories? Are we ready for some news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes, we are.
What do we got?
I just have a little information on Aaron Sorkin's next project. Is called The Trial of the Chicago 7, and just hired a director for it, Paul Greengrass, who you may remember from Green Zone or United 93. Originally, fun fact, Sorkin wrote the script about 6 years ago, and Steven Spielberg was supposed to direct it right after he did the latest Indiana Jones, the fourth one. I don't like to count that. But that fell through, and then they were trying to figure something out. So as of recently, Paul Greengrass is the new director of that. And it sounds a very interesting story. It's about true life story about the trial of a number of protesters who took part took part in violent demonstrations at the 68 Democratic Convention in Chicago. It's got more kind of Sorkin newsroom, politics going on.
Well, an HBO executive at TCA last week talked about that the newsroom is more than likely going to get a season 3 pickup, which is exciting. Great. They have to work out scheduling, probably with Aaron Sorkin's schedule. Mm-hmm. But they're hopeful. The show's been doing really well, better than they had hoped. It's up from last season. So they're excited about making an announcement soon. Hopefully that'll come together and we'll get another season of the show. So I'm excited about that.
I just have a quick one about Olivia Munn, who attended this past week a L'Oreal USA Women in Digital Next Generation Awards in New York. It presented awards to three young female entrepreneurs in digital technology from a group of 1,600 nominations. L'Oreal said they chose Olivia Munn because they wanted to show that you can be a geek and still be chic. She's a self-professed geek.
Very nice.
And I'll tease really quickly for our kind of news for us. We're supposed to have Margaret Judson on in studio with us, hopefully still, next week.
Get
she plays
out.
Tess Weston, the gorgeous blonde in the
Look
newsroom.
At that.
Very exciting.
So hopefully.
Make it happen, Kristen.
Yes. I've been talking with her manager, and she really wants to come on.
Terrific.
We're set for tomorrow, so it's just kind of a... Last, coming?
Yeah,
that I just have to do tomorrow.
And those of you other Don Kiefer fans, Thomas Sadowski, who plays Don, did an interview with Just Jared where he talks about his character. He talks about how he hates to watch himself on the show, and then it's painful that he has to go back and kind of watch himself and get the storylines.
Oh,
but he talks about the future of he and Sloan, and just kind of Aaron Sorkin and working with him and all that. So if you want to check that out, go to justjared.com and you can check out his interview there.
I think really the reason Don's nicer is Thomas is probably this really nice guy and said, please make me nice. I'm getting so much hate mail.
I know, poor guy. All right, well, what about predictions?
Oh, we're waiting.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
Always catches me off guard.
I know.
Kendra, you start. What do you think?
Oh my gosh. Well, I made
several. She has so many. My goodness.
I made several this, this during our conversation. Yeah. But I guess I'll just stand by my whole will and
will
as I move away from John. that nothing happened.
Okay.
And nothing will.
Okay. I think it's just friendly showers at Will's house.
Yeah. Okay. Or it was a pre-shower and then nothing will happen because then Mac will call his cell phone and it'll get interrupted.
Okay. But did he remember? He did tell her you don't have to look so guilty.
Yeah, but
she felt something wrong.
She had done something wrong. Yeah. She lied to Mac.
Okay.
Don't mess with Mac. Sorry. That's my prediction.
Okay. What about you, John?
I'm going to go counter to that. I've already said that they slept together. I think they slept together. But more than that, I'll reiterate what I said earlier. I think Dawn and Sloan will become an item this season.
Okay.
I think Nina's pregnant.
No. Whoa! Whoa!
No, I'm not really sure. Wouldn't that be funny? And weird and awkward? But I I'm still going to go with, I said it last week, with Maggie and Gary going over to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I think something will end up happening to Gary as well because he's there in Maggie's hands. And I think...
I didn't see that. Dang.
That
part of the coming up?
Something may come up that way. Well, no, I said that last week,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, but
that she's going to put him in harm's way. Because I think something drastic like that has to happen where it's her fault. And that's the only thing I could think of is really if somebody else, if she puts somebody else in danger.
Yeah, but I don't think it'll be Gary. I think it'll be one of the kids.
Could be.
Yeah.
Now they're at the orphanage. Know? Because we did see in the previews that something is going
down
at that orphanage.
Or she's
going
to see, I think she's changed because of what happens to those kids at that orphanage.
Yeah.
Before we quit, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, do we know for sure that Gary comes back?
I don't know.
We don't see him.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that something could have happened to maybe Gary and trying to save one of the kids.
It scares me that they put it in an orphanage, and I'm just going, oh my God, they put it in an orphanage, and she's, you know.
But that's how tragic is that going to be? What happens?
Oh, I know, but that makes me think that something's going to happen to some kids, and that's what's going to.
Well, I'm excited to see. We'll get more insight into the Africa situation next episode. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Please go to iTunes, rate and comment. You can watch us on YouTube as well. And make sure to follow us at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter. And we also are on Facebook. And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
You can follow me, Kristen Carroll 13 on Twitter.
You can follow me at Kendra Cabasell.
You can't follow me anywhere, but you can find me at SerialBuddies.com. The movie's out there. Stream it, download it. I think it's
on iTunes.
Yeah, there
right
you go.
Now. Yeah,
absolutely.
Make sure to check it out.
There.
It's available.
You can see me in four different roles. Yeah, four different roles.
Make sure to do it. It's hilarious. Yeah. So right after you finish downloading the podcast, you go and you download Serial Buddies immediately.
It's one stop.
Yeah. One stop shop. All right, guys. We will see you next week. Have a great rest of the week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.